announcements before we begin.
Bradley, I know there's announcements on the back, but we still have to go over some of these.
Okay.
Very good.
The next Sunday is the Christmas social. It'll be here at 5 o'clock. Potluck dinner. We're gonna eat at 5 o'clock. Come and bring your family and friends. After the meal at 6:30, we will have a. I got so much on my mind, I don't know which way I'm going. After the meal, we'll have a program here. It's going to be the Weller's Church puppet program. So make sure you get the kids out here as well as the adults, because they are really good. I've seen them a couple times, and they bring a very good message. So they'll be here next Sunday night. The Christmas candlelight service will be on the 22nd at 6:30. So we got a good lineup for that, nice program for that. Just make you aware, I had to move some mailboxes around back there because we got some other people in. So if you're not in the exact same spot you were, you're right close. Some of you I didn't even have to move, but you'll just have to look there. So, and Christmas cards are coming in, so make sure you grab them as well. And your newsletters are back there for December. Okay, I think that's it.
Last day to make any changes for the directory?
Oh, yeah. Last Sunday for directory changes. If you need to make any directory changes with addresses or phone numbers, be sure to put it on the paper in the back. We're going to be having the directory meeting next week, so we need to get that together.
And also the poinsettias that are in the windows, if you would like to donate some money in memory of somebody, please send a card and just let me know, give me the money. We'd like to keep those poinsettias here through December 22nd. So, but the church looks beautiful, and thank everyone for all the decorations and Wanda for getting the poinsettias, and looks nice.
Also, Bradley, just have everyone check your mailboxes before or after when you get ready to go home, because there's been some beautiful cards being popped in there, and I don't want you to miss them. So please check out your mailbox before you leave. And then Danny over here has got something too.
Yes?
Yeah, this Wednesday, 10:30 in the morning, we're having the Bible study on the Chosen right here.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I remember to make my count for the people over 70, our senior basket. The list of items we need is back on the bulletin board. Also, we'll be putting, anybody that wants to come help, we'll be putting together probably about 10 o'clock on the 14th, and they will be distributed on the 15th. Excuse me.
And this is also birthday Sunday.
Absolutely. There is treats on the way out.
Who has a birthday this time of month? Oh, two young kids, huh?
Also three.
And Kathy.
Wow. I am getting old. Well, I believe at this time, Brother Jerry, would you start with our prelude?
We'll do the happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
I had something happen this week. Are we ever mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit when He brings something to your mind and you can't get rid of it? I looked it up, and it's not because of the name, but it has something to do with, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." My thought is there enough of the presence of God in their life that if He took His Spirit away, would we notice a difference? I said, that's quite sobering. The children of Israel knew what it was like to have the presence of God, and they also knew what it was like not to have the presence of God. And this, what I work on, this stuff don't normally come to mind. Who thinks of a name Ichabod? So I knew it was from God, so I looked it up. And it talks about the glory of God departing. And I hope the Spirit of God never departs from this place. And our call to worship is in Psalms. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. Our first hymn is page 88. If you would, let us stand. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow. For as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent. We jumped this year right from Thanksgiving to Advent. No time in between. So it's kind of pushing us a little along here. So the first Sunday today is the hope candle. Isaiah 9:2, 6-7 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As we light the first purple candle. Let us pray. Lord, as we light this purple candle of hope, we remember that your light pierces the darkness and brings hope to all who trust in you. Fill our hearts with anticipation for your coming, and may we carry this hope into every corner of our lives. Amen.
Amen. A call to giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray over the offerings real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, that you give us just a portion of what you've given to everyone else. Lord, that in this giving, Lord, it would be for your kingdom, for your work, that you would bless the gift and the giver, that you would guide us, Lord God, as we would prepare our hearts. But most of all, Father, this money, Lord, would go to the furthering of the work of your kingdom, that you would be blessed and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I made up some prayer requests for this morning for Pat and Frank and his family, for Bob and Linda, for Ralph and Debbie, the church families, for Jerry and his list, and Ron and Nancy, and are any others that need. And what was the first name?
Matt Stahl. It's Linda and Bob's nephew.
It's my mom's sister's son died suddenly on Friday.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yes, sister.
Keep my girlfriend, Ruthie, on the prayer list. She didn't get operated on yesterday. The hospital can make mistakes, can't they?
Yes.
Hopefully tomorrow this will be... officially done, so keep her in our prayers.
Yes, sister.
I'd like to have traveling mercies for my niece who was driving home from Arkansas and then had a lot of bad traffic. And then also traveling mercies for me tomorrow morning because I have to get up early and come home late from the hospital with my brother and his family.
Well, traffic's getting bad everywhere. Yes, sister.
The lady that walks my dog, she lost her sister on Friday. She was like 60 years old. She went in for heart surgery, and during surgery, her heart stopped. They had to discontinue, and she went downhill. She was on life support for several weeks, and then they discontinued it the other day.
What's her name?
Karen Allen.
Yes, Brother Frank.
Yeah, I want to continue to remember my wife in your prayers. They did insert two stents last Monday. She got it on fine, but she did have to stay overnight, of course. But they found another one when they inserted those two, and they weren't able to take care of that one. So she's scheduled to go back in on the 19th to have the third one inserted. And we want to our children, grandchildren, one of them's from Florida now for Thanksgiving, that they'll have a safe trip back. One's from Philadelphia. Pray that their traveling mercies will be good. And also, Nancy and Ronnie, and then Ralph and Debbie.
Oh, you got all that.
Oh, yeah.
I got a friend of mine, she fell and broke right through her shoulder, right where the joint is. And they got to wait for all the swelling to go down to see if there's anything to do for it. I mean, it's, she had flip-flops on, and she was going out and tripped on something and fell all of her weight, hit right there and broke right through there. Her name's Cindy. You never know what turn of events is going to change your life forever. Yes, Mr. Bob.
Brad, I want to lift you up today and always, and thank you for filling in as our opening leader this morning. We praise you and thank you so much for that. Your opening will be wonderful, I know, and the man that follows you will be wonderful too. Thank you both for your worship today.
Well, we're all doing our part. I'm only filling in for Sister Debbie because I can't fill her shoes. She wears too many hats. Yes, brother.
On Wednesday, I have one of those delightful tests that probably a lot of you have had, the colonoscopy. And so I'm, the last time I had some polyps that they had to cut out and check, so they had me on a more sooner basis. I didn't think it was time yet, but they said it's time. So I'm on my fun eating nothing right now with that. That's fine. But on Thanksgiving, I had a wonderful Thanksgiving with my family. My son cooked, and when we were on our way home, I had my two grandsons and Deb's great nephew with us, the three little boys in the back seat. And we were out in the country on a country road, but we came around a corner, and I don't know whether the guy was drinking or whether he was on his phone, but he came across the line, and I don't know how he didn't hit me. The Lord must have put his hand there. I was clear off the road, and there was a bank on the right side, and I was as far as I could go towards that bank, and he was clear across the line and came by me, and I don't know how he didn't hit me. But like you said, we take things for granted. The Lord certainly was with us in that moment, especially when I would think about those three boys that I had with me. Made me really stop and say, Lord, thank you that you care even about the little things in life, you know, a long life's journey. And it's really good to be with you today.
Well, he said, he shall give his angels charge over thee to bear thee up in all thy ways. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Sometimes we forget even simple things. God's watching.
Yeah. Right. I want to add on to that. I want to keep the Smith family in the passing of a former teacher, Ruthie Smith, passed away this week. And also my mom's brother's wife's family. I'm not sure the name of the young man. He was only 22, committed suicide this week. And we need to remember these people that are in deep darkness. But I'd like to keep that thing. God knows who they are.
You know, it even happens to friends that we once knew who can't handle the pressure because they choose to turn to God. Instead, they take a simple way out, which they have no idea what awaits them after that. That's why it's so important for us to shine as lights in dark places. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sister.
Could we bless Ray and her friend? Baby, this holiday.
What was her name?
Ray.
Oh. So how are you holding up, young lady? God said he wouldn't put more on us than we were able to bear. And sometimes I wonder how much that is. But God knows. We have a long list of things to pray for today. So let us go to the Lord in prayer, even though he knows each life from beginning to end. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for your presence of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in the things, Lord. You only want the best for us. Lord, the prayer requests are many. For those who need healing, traveling mercies and protection. For those who just need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That you would touch their hearts and remind them, Lord, of your word. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Father, the countless promises that you have for your people, Lord God. That we can cling to your promises, Lord, that your promises are yea and amen. Father, I lift up each prayer request today, Lord. You know each heart, each life. You know the pain and the sorrow and the emptiness, Lord. And for those, Father, who don't know you, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would visit them and speak to their hearts. And as the Christmas stars shine, Lord, let the Holy Spirit shine around them. And just draw them unto you and remind them, Lord, that you love them and that you only want the best for them. That you would keep your hands upon all those who are traveling, Lord God. And Father, that you would just bless them and help them to get to their destination safely. And for Ralph and Debbie and for Bob and Linda and for Frank and Pat and for our church families, Lord God, and for our friends, I just lift them all up to you, Father, because you're the only one who is able to move in the midst of even the darkest of situations and bring the light of the Holy Spirit. Father, I just ask that you would bless each one who is here today. Bless them for their faithfulness to you, Lord God. Bless their marriages, their finances. And for all of our unsaved family members, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just speak to the hearts and move in their midst. And Father, we could continue to pray all day, Lord God. But you know each issue, Lord, each circumstance. And for Ron and Nancy, Lord God, we just lift them up to you for your divine healing upon him and his wife, Lord God. Keep them safe as they travel, Lord. And for Ralph and Debbie as they travel, Lord, that you would give them peace. They would come back refreshed. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Father, I just thank you for each one. For their friendship, for their love and their prayers. Thank you, Father, for all that you do in their lives, for keeping us safe from day to day, Lord, and reminding us in Scripture, Father, that you have things for us to do, for time has not yet ended. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, to remind us all, Lord God, for your kingdom to come. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Did you have a song, or do you want me to read the scripture for you? Start your song.
I'm going to do that as part of the sermon.
Okay. Let me find that. Okay. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Be not afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Hallelujah. "And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. The angel left her. At this time, Brother Larry Denton will come and feed to us the word of God.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's good to see everybody, and it's been a while since I've been here, and that's a good thing from the standpoint that that means your pastoral situation has gotten settled, and Brother Sam's doing better with his voice, and so that's all good, but I miss you guys, and so I was excited for the opportunity. And also, and maybe I've mentioned this to you before, in this ministry, which the Lord has allowed me to have since retirement of doing pulpit fill and special speaking, it's really blessed me this year. I've had a very busy year. But when it gets around Christmas, pastors aren't going away, and they're protective of their pulpit, in those wonderful seasons like Christmas and Advent. And so I don't get many opportunities to do Christmas sermons. So I was also excited. That Sunday that Deb asked me to do will be the first Sunday of Advent, and I can reflect on Christmas with you. So I'm happy to be here. You know that Advent was one of the very, very ancient celebrations of Christianity that we keep. Not everybody keeps it. Some of, even among our brethren circle, the early brethren didn't keep Advent. They didn't celebrate Christmas. They didn't celebrate Easter. The early brethren said, if it's not specifically mentioned in Scripture, we're not going to do that. To me, it always felt a little like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, as that old line goes, that those celebrations like Lent, like Advent, Pentecost, those church celebrations were designed by the ancient church because the colors and the candles and the themes helped teach the people of faith about those great truths of the Bible. And I think that's still a good thing. And so I look forward to those celebrations. The word Advent means coming. And we mark the four Sundays before Christmas and remember how the Jews waited and waited and waited for the coming of their Messiah. They're still waiting. I have a dear friend who's from the church I served there in East Berlin, Bermudian, who's a Messianic Jew. He was raised Jewish. His family is also Jewish. But he came to faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And how wonderful when a Jewish person comes to that understanding. My Messiah did come. He's Jesus. But they waited for centuries. And as the words from the prophets kind of stopped, there was this long, empty period for the people of Israel as they waited for their Lord. And that's what we mark. And I think it has a good connection as we think about the little ones in our lives waiting for Christmas morning and how they long for that and their eyes get excited when they talk about it. And that's the way we should be as we think about the coming of our Lord and his second advent, which, as we've been talking about, I know, in your Sunday school for a long time, and as we talked about today, many of us believe can't be far off with the way we see prophecies being fulfilled. And today, as Brother Jerry shared with us, the candle of hope, reminding us that it is in those messianic prophecies of the Old Testament that the Jewish people could have hope that what God said would indeed come, and we can have that hope too. One of the significant moments in the Christmas story is when Joseph and a very pregnant Mary arrive in Bethlehem. Now, I remember the census had been called. Everyone had to travel back to their town of their ancestry, and so there they go, and they get there only to find no guest rooms. Now, stop thinking when we think about this in terms of our day. This wasn't the Holiday Inn. It wasn't even the Motel 6. And artists and writers all across the centuries have imagined a gruff, mean innkeeper slamming the door on them and shouting, "I said no vacancy!" But, you know, there's no innkeeper mentioned in Scripture. Bible doesn't mention an innkeeper. In fact, the way visitors lodged in those days, there probably wasn't really an innkeeper. So we know nothing of that interaction between Joseph and Mary and the place where they stayed. But I do imagine a kindly old gent and his wife at a door late at night explaining the situation to this poor couple, that all the people that have come for the census, there's just no room, there's no room. And then saying, "There's room in our stable if you want," and leading them there. However that interchange went, the door of the inn closed to them, and that's all it says. She gave birth to Jesus because there was no room for them in the inn. That's all the Bible says. So we know nothing about an innkeeper or anything like that. But that symbol of that door being closed, of there being no room, becomes a symbol of the Jews and of the world and us today rejecting Jesus then and now. The Apostle John says at the beginning of his gospel, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him," John 1:11. My wife Deb loves to design and make crafts. It's amazing. She has a very creative talent, makes beautiful work, spends hours and hours and hours on the design. And she was finishing up one last night, and she worked for several hours, and then she took a picture of it, and then she was upstairs. I was in my office downstairs. She was upstairs, and then she came back down because as she studied the picture and thought about it, needed a little red here. And that's the way she works on them, and designed some amazingly beautiful things. But did you know that the meaning behind a wreath on the door, it was a way to say welcome. There was no wreath on the door for Jesus, for Mary and Joseph. But 9 months earlier, in this amazing encounter that we've read the scripture of this morning, where Mary meets the angel Gabriel, Mary has placed a wreath on her heart's door and welcomed God's plans for her. And that's what we want to study today. Mary opening her heart's door to the plans that God had for her. And I'd like to sing a song for you. It's one of our newer Christmas songs. You're probably very familiar with it. Maybe you don't know the story, though, of the little boy who had ADHD pretty bad, had trouble in school, had trouble in church, was very, very active, got in trouble a lot. But his pastor liked this little fellow and saw that underneath the inability to focus and concentrate and sit still was a little boy that loved the Lord. And so for the Christmas program, he asked him to write a poem. And the little boy did write a poem, and everyone said, that was really nice. The little boy tucked it in his Bible, and it was years later, after he had found that he had some real music talent, and he became pretty well known for his music and for the humor that people had always laughed at him. He found out he could be a pretty good comedian too. And maybe you're guessing by now who it is. If you love gospel music, it's Mark Lowry. And after Mark travels with the Gaithers and sings with the vocal band sometimes, it was years later, after he was pretty famous, that he found in his Bible this poem that he had written when he was a little boy, and handed it to one of the musicians and said, "You think you could set this to music?" And the Christmas song, "Mary Did You Know," became very popular quickly. And one of the neat things about the song is it crossed over from gospel to country to pop, and has been covered by many, many different folks from many, many different genres of music. And it simply is pretending a discussion with Mary and saying, did you understand what was going to happen? Did you know? Now, I have some pastor friends who hate the song and say, yes, Mary knew. Mary knew, and I guess I'd argue with them. I don't think Mary did. She knew what God had said. But did she understand every detail and how it was going to flesh out? No. And we have a clue of that in Mark's gospel, you remember, where Jesus was causing quite a ruckus healing. And the scripture tells us that Mary and his brothers came to get him. And they said, he's gone out of his mind, and we're going to take him home. Well, I don't think in that moment she was knowing very well who all Jesus really is and what it all meant. So I do like the hymn, the song, and I'd like to share it with you. My voice isn't as strong today. A little something grungy going on in there, but we'll sing it for you. See, I didn't put on the mic. Is everybody hearing okay without me wearing the lapel mic? Is everybody hearing me okay? You in the back? I'll try to stay and not wander from this. Baby boy. give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame will leap again. The dead will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy one day rule all the nations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect man? The sleeping child you're holding, he is the great so good to be together on this first Sunday of Advent and think about the wonder that you would come from all the glory of heaven to be incarnated in human form, God in flesh, Emmanuel, here with us, to live and to teach and ultimately then to die for my sin, for our sin. And Lord, Mary's part in that is just a woman, a young woman, who opened her heart's door to your plans. What an example for us. So please be with us this morning in the presence of your Holy Spirit to teach us. Allow this poor messenger to be in the background and your perfect truth to be what's front and center. And help us all to open our heart's door today and to listen and to grow and to receive from you just as you would. Bless us, we pray. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we want to see from this amazing scripture that tells us about this contact between the angel Gabriel and Mary, the first word is trust. You see, Mary opened her heart's door and trusted God's plan, even when it didn't make sense. Okay, there's an angel before you. Okay, you're scared out of your shoes. But he says you're going to have a baby. And only Mary really knew the full truth of that. She's never been with a man. Verse 34, how will this be since I'm a virgin? But she opened her heart's door to trust what the Lord had said. When we accept that God's ways are beyond our own comprehension, then we're on our way to really trusting God. That's what I was saying there. We have to believe. We have to come to understand that God's ways are beyond anything we can comprehend. How did that other car not hit me on Thursday night? I don't think you've got to put a piece of paper between the two. God's ways are beyond our ways. And maybe some of you are in that kind of situation today. Maybe there's something going on in your life, in your relationships, your situation that just seems impossible. But can we begin to trust that God's ways are beyond our own comprehension? 1 Corinthians 13:12 is from the Great Love chapter in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13. And this is from the Message paraphrase. I like the way it's worded here. We don't see things clearly yet. We're squinting in a fog, peering through the mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. And we'll see it all then, see it all clearly, as God sees us. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:12. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts, is the Lord saying through the prophet, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. Mary opened her heart's door to trust the Lord in this moment. Second word is believe. Mary opened her heart's door and believed the impossible. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, for nothing is impossible with God. That's Luke chapter 1, 31, 27, or 37 from our morning text. Sure, what Gabriel was saying seems simply impossible. A woman who's not been with a man can't be pregnant. And maybe your situation today feels the same way. I can't overcome this. I can't get through that. This situation cannot be resolved. But you know it's true, and I heard it said in our Sunday school class today, when God is near, we need not fear. Oh, that's a good one to remember. Say it with me. When God is near, we need not fear. Say it again. When God is near, we need not fear. The virgin birth is a fantastic miracle, an amazing miracle that, do you know, do you understand, was never doubted until just recent decades. It's prophecy fulfilled. It was foretold in the Old Testament, and people believed it and talked about it and thought about it. It's only been recent decades that even people claiming to be Christian been able to say that they don't really believe in the virgin birth. Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which you'll remember the angel tells Joseph means God with us. Albert Mohler, maybe some of you know that name, another one of the great writers of today, has said, Christians must face the fact that a denial of the virgin birth is a denial of Jesus as the Christ. You can't say you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then say, but I don't believe that he was born of a virgin. You can't say that. You can't believe one without the other. And you see, there's this oft-repeated biblical truth about things being possible with God that seem impossible. And if you believe it, if you believe this in your heart, that my God can do impossible things, things that I can't figure out how he could do that, he can do impossible things. It will change the way you pray. It will change the way you love each other. It will change the way you reach out. It will change the way you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But with God, all things are possible. That's Matthew 19:26. All things are possible with God. That's Mark 10:27. What is possible with men is possible. What is impossible with men is possible with God. That's Luke 18:27. Everything is possible for him who believes. That's Mark 9:23. If you have faith, nothing will be impossible. Matthew 17:20. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for me? That's Jeremiah 32:27. I know that you can do all things. That's Job 42:2. You see how it's from Genesis right on through. That truth's there, that with God, the things that would seem impossible for you and for me are very possible with God. And if Mary can't believe in this possibility, if Mary can't believe that even though I'm a virgin, I'm going to have a baby, if she can't believe that, she cannot fulfill her calling. She must believe that even though I'm a virgin, God is going to give me this child. If she can't believe that, then she can't fulfill her calling. And brothers and sisters, neither can you. If you can't believe that God can take this thing that seems impossible in your life and see you through it, then you can't fulfill your calling. Charles Stanley wrote, "The virgin birth, like Jesus' resurrection from the dead, ranks as one of the Bible's more amazing miracles. Many people reject the idea outright, while others shrug it off as non-essential to their understanding of the Savior. But a person can't believe the Word of God while rejecting its claim that the Lord was born to a virgin." The two go together. So she opened her heart door to trust, and she opened her heart door to believe. And then third, Mary opened her heart's door and obeyed. She simply obeyed. What was Mary's reaction to Gabriel when he says, "You're going to have a baby"? "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said," from our morning passage, Luke 1:38. King James, in King James, the word there is translated handmaid. "I am the handmaid of the Lord." In NIV, as I just read, "servant." "I am the Lord's servant." In New King James translation, the word is translated maidservant. "I am the Lord's maidservant." In the Holman Christian Standard Bible, "I am the Lord's slave." In the New American Standard Bible, "I am the bondslave of the Lord." The word is doule in Greek, and here's how a Greek dictionary defines it. Refers to a woman serving as a slave and indicates at the same time the humble station of a slave. It emphasizes being in subjection. Mary understood what this would mean. In that culture, in that time, for her to be found pregnant before she and Joseph settled their marriage, had that formal celebration of marriage, she could have been stoned to death. You understand that? The leaders of her town could have drug her to the edge of town and stoned her to death. That would have been according to the law. She knew what that meant. She knew that could mean ridicule. She knew that could mean Joseph rejecting her. She understood. And yet she says, "I'm a slave to the Lord. Let it be to me as you've said." She understood what being pregnant as an unmarried gal would mean. And she still said yes. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, it is better to obey than to offer a sacrifice. 1 John 5:3 says, we show our love for God by obeying his commandments. 2 John 1:6, the way we show our love is to obey God's commands. Mary opened her heart's door to God's plans and said, if that's the plan, okay. So I'm inviting you to open your heart's door this Christmas and trust God, even when you can't see. Doesn't make sense what he's doing. I invite you to open your heart's door to the Lord this Christmas and believe the impossible. You know, the world won't end if you don't do all the baking. The world won't end if you don't do all the decorating. The world won't end if you don't do all the spending. The Lord can help you make a new normal, even if that seems impossible. That relationship, you know the one, it can be mended. That sin in your life, you know the one, it can be forgiven. That walk of faith that you long for can be restored. That prodigal can be welcomed home. And then I invite you to open your heart's door this Christmas and obey, even if it's hard. Turn from that habit or that sin that's hurting you and those around you. Do away with those things in your life which are clearly against God's direction for you. You'll open the door to blessings. How about you put a root wreath on your heart's door this Christmas and trust even when you don't understand and believe that we serve a God who can do impossible things and obey even when it's hard. Open your heart's door to God's plans just like Mary. And trust him. Amen. Amen. Find your bulletin. It's a little cut and paste today. Find this page that doesn't have much on it, but just says closing hymn at the top. Can you all find that? Just has a little bit on it. Everybody finding that okay? Then find your hymnal. And turn to number 241. It was a number of years ago when I preached a sermon about Mary and trusting. And I wrote this new first verse to 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. So here's all you really need to know. As we start the hymn, we'll sing the first verse from this page. Unto Mary came an angel, mother of the Christ shall be. And then that's just the verse. We'll go then to the chorus as it's printed. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. And then we'll just stay in the hymnal and go through the four verses there, just as they're printed. So five verses. So the very first verse is just this little phrase sentence up here at the top, and then we'll go into the chorus, and then we'll come back and sing the four that are printed. Clear as mud?
So we're going to do this and the four.
Yeah, we'll do five verses all together. And the first verse will just be what's printed on here, followed by the refrain from the hymnal, the chorus. And then we'll sing the four verses and chorus as printed. Got it? Let's stand and sing. Brothers and sisters, place a big, bright Christmas wreath upon the door of your heart this Christmas season. Trust the Lord, oh, even when it seems impossible. Believe that we serve a God who can do impossible things with ease. And obey. Simply obey. What he calls you in his word, how he directs you as you talk to him in prayer, simply obey. And my prayer for you is that you will have a wonderful Christmas and be very blessed as we celebrate his coming once again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to grant you his peace. And may the Lord be with you as you open your heart door to receive him this Christmas. Go in his love and his joy and his peace. And in my love too. Amen.